I'm Gab. He's Jules. It's Monday. It's very, very cold. Actually, snow this weekend in London. Yeah. There's sunny skies outside our studios here in West London, but not in another part of West London, not at Stamford Bridge, where multiple outlets, including our own James Ollie, reporting that Frank Lampard is no longer the Chelsea manager. We'll get into that at the top of our show. Later, we'll get into United and Liverpool. We'll get into Barcelona, Real Madrid, lots of all that stuff around Europe. Jules, I was not expecting this.
No.
I was not expecting it because I was told not to expect it, because I wrote a whole column saying why I didn't think it was going to happen now. Now, obviously, you never quite know. Obviously, they won at the weekend. Let's speculate away. Now, obviously, the league position wasn't good. Obviously, mistakes were made. I don't think the recruitment in the summer left Frank necessarily as happy as he would have been. And I think, well, he didn't say anything then. I think things simmered and then perhaps might have blown over a little bit. But I think the main reason why I bought into it was the fact that the lack of alternatives, in the sense that we were told that Thomas Tuchel wasn't going to be available until the summer. Allegri evidently left them a little bit cold. Nagelsmann, of course, not available till the summer. And certainly I'm pretty confident in saying that until a week ago, I think what I was told was accurate, that there was no plan. So do we think something could have happened in the past 3, 4, 5 days?
Yes, certainly something happened, because, you know, I trust you and your sources and the people you speak to say that they were going to give Lampard a bit more time and see that form in the league could have got better, and they could have climbed back up in the table. There's still plenty of games to play. The top four was still reachable easily, even if there's a lot of teams there, even if it's a huge, it's quite congested at the top of the table, but still, you know, they were in there, even if the form hadn't been great in the league. Maybe Thomas Tuchel decided that he wanted to come now and not just wait for the summer. Maybe the club convinced him. Maybe Pini Zahavi's agent convinced him. Maybe he realized that it would be better to come now in February or at the end of January and almost have a free hit between now and the end of the season. And then really next season matters, and then the ones to follow. I don't know, but for me, I was also told that Thomas Tuchel wanted to wait for the summer and that he was really keen on the Chelsea job, but he wanted to wait in the summer and maybe see what else was available for him. And maybe he changed his mind and decided, you know what, Chelsea right now is good for me and I want to come now and take charge now.
I think there's also, and again, this news literally broke as we walked into the studio. So, you know, we haven't done any reporting on this, and what I'm about to say is pure speculation. I also wonder if there isn't an element that when you, as a manager, when you know that the club are actively looking at a plan B, and you're in this situation and you're not doing well, there's a certain type of personality, especially if there's been internal conflict before, which I think very plausibly there may have been.
Yeah,
you're the type of person who gives the club an ultimatum. And I wonder if that comes into it, because a lot of these things are interconnected, right? Frank Lampard, his uncle, as we know, is Harry Redknapp, who's very close to Pini Zahavi, and of course, Pini Zahavi himself very close to the club.
Yep.
And of course, Pini Zahavi has taken over representation of Thomas Tuchel.
Yes.
All these things very connected. And I would imagine that Lampard knew at every step what Chelsea were planning, when they were planning it. And at some point, especially if you're the kind of Lampard personality where, you know, you've been phenomenally successful as a footballer, you're not going to hang on necessarily. You know, you've got pride as well. You're not going to hang on if you sense that maybe this isn't right for you too. And maybe you go and you demand an ultimatum from the club, and the ultimatum, and then the club says, you know what, just do your job. We pay you to coach and go away. And if you're not prepared to do that, let's move on. I mean, is this a scenario?
That's a very possible scenario. I mean, I just think that. So I think the recruitment this summer was, how do you say, like a poisonous present or something? Is that what you say in English? In the sense that as good as
a poison chalice.
Yes, as good as it looked on paper, and of course it's great, and of course you want to have great players in your squad. I'm just not sure if Frank, and I think I mentioned that a little bit in the last show, as a young manager, was just ready for all of that, was ready to almost write off what happened last season and why he sort of started building last season with the younger players and right. etc. And almost have to start again from scratch with half of the team, half of the starting 11 new, who had never been coached by him before, who had been coached by managers with far more experience, with completely different identity, philosophies. And I'm just not sure if you've just been in the job for 2 years. Frank Lampard has 2.5 years as a manager. That's all he has. I think that's a lot to take on, all those new players, all that money spent, all that pressure, and get along with it and get ready and build an identity, build a team. And I don't want to be nice with him because he doesn't, you know, I've got no reason to be nice to him. I'm just trying to find, you know, all the reasons why also this didn't work. And I think he's made mistakes, loads of mistakes in his team selections, in his in the lack of identity, in tactically. But I think also that was a big burden that he got in the summer. And of course he wanted it, because if you're a manager, you want to be successful. The best way to be successful is to have great players. So it's all linked. However, I'm just not sure how ready he was as a very, very, very young manager to have all of this coming his way at that time.
I think there's an elephant in the room here as well, which is, and we touched upon this before, that defensive midfield position, which if you're going to accommodate all these attacking players, you need somebody in that role. And the only person in that role is N'Golo Kanté, who's more effective playing a different role.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't played that position he played at Leicester City for years. In fact, arguably, it wasn't even what he did at Leicester City. Drinkwater did that, and he ran around and hunted the ball. And I think that really... that really affected him. The buck stops with somebody at the club. The club know whether it was Lampard who said, yeah, I'm fine with Jorginho, Kovac, Gilmore, or whether there were other factors at work. Jules, there's one thing that doesn't totally add up and which suggests to me that something happened in the last 12 hours, 12 to 18 hours. So Lampard, after the Chelsea win and the FA Cup against Luton, he didn't look like a guy who was about to be sacked. He didn't speak like a guy who was about to be sacked. He threw things forward to the future, Tomori, all this nonsense, right? So that makes me think that at that time, he did not expect this to be coming.
Well,
now, hang on. Just want to complete the thought here, right? We'll get to Thomas Tuchel, who, you know, rumor has it, is the guy coming in. I assume, because of what I said before, because Tuchel, Pini Zahavi, the relationship that's there. Frank knows at every stage, and we know the facts, multiple outlets, including Ollie as well, reporting that the Tuchel deal isn't done yet.
No.
Okay, that there's still stuff to work on.
But he will be coming in.
But that suggests to me that he felt pretty safe after the game on Sunday. I wonder if something didn't happen, because from Chelsea's perspective, why not lock up the Tuchel deal and be ready to roll with that and then sack Frank? Do you see what I'm saying?
But I think that's what happened.
Well, the deal's not agreed, though.
No, but it's like the Pochettino at PSG deal. There might be a little few details to sort there and there. Who's the coaching staff that he can come with?
Yeah, I think the big difference...
Do you keep the Jody Morris? Do you keep the people like that?
The big difference, I think, with the Pochettino deal was that Tuchel's contract expired at the end of the season for Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
So he knew, he's not stupid, he knows, he's read all the rumors, the club aren't doing great and everything, and he knows, hey look, nobody's offered me a new contract at PSG, right? But this
Lampard,
this wasn't Lampard's situation.
No, but for Lampard you can say like, your form has been so bad for the last 5 weeks now that surely you knew the pressure was on you, surely you knew that there was a big risk that you could get sacked, surely you don't think that a win against Luton from the Championship in the FA Cup can convince everybody to that actually you're the right man for the job if they already had doubts. And maybe Lampard even knew that they had been spoken to other managers.
There's no question that Lampard knew that they had spoken to other managers.
So then maybe
I don't think there's any question.
So then he knew that it was coming, that he could come. I don't know what kind of verb and tense you want to use, but surely he knew that there was a big possibility, even if he wanted to believe that he would keep the job, and after the Luton game, he had to be positive and he had to look forward and he had to already be thinking about the next game in the Premier League, but he knew that he could come. And I think that once Tuchel said, okay, I'm coming, and they got a successor, then that, it was easy. And then you have a meeting with Frank Lampard on Monday morning and you say, listen, he hasn't worked out this season. We're not happy with the way you're playing. We're not happy with the way you're handling up the Werners and the Havertz, or I don't know, whatever justification. They might not even have given Frank any justification. Maybe Marina Granovskaya just said, hey, you know what? It's not good enough. You have the door, you have here. And that's just the way it is.
It's an entirely plausible scenario. My gut tells me something happened overnight.
So what could happen?
That moved the situation forward.
Well, this is. I'll tell you what could happen. They have a meeting before the Luton game, for example. Let's say on Thursday morning or Friday morning to talk about the remaining days of the transfer windows. And Frank again says, "Listen, we're not going to get better unless we sign a proper defensive midfielder like Declan Rice.
Yeah.
Or someone else. I don't know. They surely have other options. Yeah. It's not just Declan Rice. You know, they can have someone similar. And the club again said, well, no, we can't spend money now. We've spent 250 million in the summer. We'll have to wait for next summer to do it. And then Frank starts saying, like, yeah, but then don't expect us to change dramatically. This team is still unbalanced. This team is this. And maybe that's where they fell out and said, well, if you don't think you're the right guy to take this squad as it is now, without Declan Rice or any other addition right now, then you're not the right guy for the job. And then we're gonna part ways or something. And maybe that's the only thing I can see that could have happened in the last few days where they fell out over.
I agree with you. I think that conversation is something that is something that must have happened, that must have taken place in some form, you know, between last week when they said, I'm not saying that clubs don't misdirect and lie, but most of the time they're not very good at doing that. Yeah. Last week, that was still the impetus. Last week, the impetus was still, he will be fired if we don't believe, though if we think somebody else has a better chance of getting us top four. Unless, of course, you always have the wild card of some sort of showdown, some sort of tête-à-tête, some sort of situation where you say it's him or me. Because, like I said, from Lampard's position, now it's one thing to know you're under threat. It's another thing to know that, you know, you're under threat for the summer with Nagelsmann, with whatever, and an imminent threat of Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah.
Thomas Tuchel, who initially, as you reported and others, puts out, well, you know, I was just fired. It was my Christmas present, getting fired. I want to take some time off and think and regenerate.
Certainly.
I suspect from Tuchel's perspective, he maybe had a rethink, or maybe the club simply went to him and said, Thomas, mein Lieber, if you want this job, it's now.
Yeah.
It's not in the summer. Because with all due respect, you're not Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola. You're Thomas Tuchel. And this job is here now, or could be here now, but it's not going to be here in the summer. I think that's what swung him. You obviously, we were talking off air earlier, suggested maybe they just put a few more million on his contract.
Yeah, maybe as well. It's good. But certainly I think that, because there was a time where we thought, okay, they can sack Lampard, have someone as an interim manager between now and the end of the season, and then in the summer, you bring Thomas Tuchel, or you bring Nagelsmann, or whoever you want. But if you look at who could have been the interim manager right now, whether that was Shevchenko or Avram Grant. Yeah,
and you're not going to go back to Goose Hiddink a third time.
Goose Hiddink. You go like, okay, maybe the interim thing is not a good idea. So when Tuchel said, okay, actually, I can come now. I'm happy to come now, maybe with a few more millions on the paycheck. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he's watched them play a bit more. Maybe he had a deeper dive into their games. Maybe he's already seen how he can improve them. Maybe he's spoken to people around the club who played against them. Maybe Kai Havertz, Timo Werner, I don't know, anyone. Rudiger, who he's very close to, who he wanted to bring to Paris. Maybe he had a phone call with Rudiger, and Rudiger said to him, coach, come now, because there's good talent there. There's this, there's that. And maybe that also happens. And help Tuchel saying, actually, forget about the summer. I'm going to come now and I'm going to work with this team right now. Maybe he feels this is a free hit between now and the end of the season, which he would be. We would give him, I think, a lot of time, because this is not his squad. Arriving in February is not easy, especially after the poor run of form. So maybe he thinks, hang on a minute, I can have a free hit now, free ride between now and May.
Well, it's not really a free ride. The reason ride is because if you don't finish top four, you know, you're not going to get sacked. But if you don't finish top four, the margin for error, then Substantially diminishes. Chelsea spent an enormous amount of money counterintuitively in the summer in the hopes of accumulating assets and being able to build on this. It's not like financial fair play has disappeared, despite what some people say.
In the sense that if they finish fourth, people will say, oh, Tuchel is a genius.
If they finish fourth, yes.
If they finish seventh, everybody and Tuchel himself say, well, it's not my fault. I arrived. They had won 1 in 7 or 1 in 8. You know, this was an unbalanced squad.
I think the clear message with Tuchel, though, is that he's going to have to make it work with this group of players.
Yeah.
Or with some of the diaspora of Chelsea players who are out on loan and, of course, who could come back, whether it's Barkley or Loftus-Cheek or whoever you want to mention, Michy Batshuayi, perhaps. Lucas Piazon is no longer under contract, so it's not going to be him.
Sorry, Thomas.
It's interesting because I think part of the appeal of Tuchel, and as you know, I said many times, I am a dyed-in-the-wool Tuchelista going back to Mainz.
But old-school Tuchelista.
I am old-school Tuchelista. Yeah. The new Tuchel, the Tuchel we saw at Paris Saint-Germain, isn't Tuchel. The new Tuchel is some sort of insect-like version of somewhere between Ancelotti and Solskjaer. He is a man manager, right?
Yeah.
He is a guy.
But he doesn't like that, right?
He doesn't know that. Well, this is the thing, right? You say he doesn't like that. That's what he had to be at Paris Saint-Germain, right? At Paris Saint-Germain, we didn't see the wacky high press. We didn't see the sophisticated approach and everything. What we saw was a guy saying, all right, I have some really good players. Let me put them out there in the best conditions to win. Let me do my best to keep them happy and keep them working hard and keep them on side with me. And let me go and see what I can do. And he did that fairly well in the sense that until this season, Paris Saint-Germain certainly were punching their weight, let's say. Not above their weight. Obviously, Chelsea feel that this is the profile that they need. And this is part of the thing that makes me, that I can't quite square away. We're led to believe, Mark Ogden reporting, that the other managers that they looked at weren't man-manager types. They were visionary types, if we want to use these labels, right? There's Nagelsmann and Ralf Rangnick. So do they want Tuchel to come in to be the Tuchel of Mainz?
Yeah.
Because if they want Tuchel to come in and be the Tuchel of Mainz, then you have an issue with the squad.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask you, is Chelsea a political club where you have to be more than just a manager, where you have to be very good at politics?
I think undoubtedly, yeah.
So this is something that he hated in Paris, that he was not happy with. In the end, he even sort of begged, I just want to coach. That's all I want to do. I want to coach. I don't want all the rest around. I'm sorry, but at Chelsea, if he did his homework well, he knows that he's going to come to a club quite similar, you would say that, right, to PSG in that sense, in the political sense of how the club works?
I think, I think one of the key differences is there's fewer people, like, speaking and speaking to the media and dropping things in the media. It's less that way. They are much more closed internally. Those conversations are happening, but they happen internally, and it's very political internally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously Peter Cech isn't Leonardo in terms of, you know, going on and saying, we'll do this. Oh, yeah, I thought the team kind of sucked this weekend. Or I would have substituted that guy. That's not Chelsea. So, but I completely agree with you.
Now the players, you're right. Is this squad suited there's no Neymar and Mbappe in there, so there's the question mark over. Okay, are they gonna listen to him? Is that dressing room gonna do what he wants? If he says run like crazy, are you gonna run like crazy? Okay, this is slightly different. But is this squad suited to the Thomas Tuchel of Mainz or even of Dortmund's first half of his Dortmund tenure?
I would argue, no, not for that, not for that Tuchel. I don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at it and say, oh, but look, you have Timo Werner and Pulisic, and these guys will do what you want them to do. Okay, fine. You know, you can build these guys from the ground up. But equally, you've got issues. You've got issues in certain positions. I mean, I'm not sure Rudiger, as close as he might be to Tuchel, is necessarily that guy. I'm not sure Thiago Silva, at his age, is that guy. That is obviously a role that they're going to have to address, the center back position, unless Tomori goes to Milan and channels his inner Baresi, which is possible too, I guess.
Yeah.
You have that issue in defensive midfield, which isn't going away.
Yeah.
You have a Havertz issue, which I don't see why it would be different for him than for Tuchel. So I think necessarily Tuchel is going to have to be man manager Tuchel. He's going to have to be reassure the people upstairs Tuchel. He's going to have to be the Tuchel that we saw
job.
At Paris Saint-Germain, and he's going to have to do it without Neymar and Mbappe.
Yeah.
That's the part which to me, makes me a bit uneasy. I mean, I don't know. I personally, I would have said, suck it up, wait longer, take a run at Nagelsmann, if you like. Because remember, too, Lampard, if you go against Lampard, you have to be sure that this is a battle you're going to win. Lampard still carries a lot of weight among Chelsea fans. And I don't know in what condition, I don't know when he's going to speak, how he's going to speak. Maybe Lampard resigned and we don't know that, you know? Maybe Lampard just says, screw this, I'm out of here. Maybe Lampard wants to keep a great relationship with the club. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we're purely speculating. But if Lampard feels slighted or if he's unhappy, you know, he is a threat to get back to you. And then that undermines not so much Abramovich or even Marina, but it undermines Peter Cech, McLaughlin, some of these other people around him.
Yeah.
Again, if he decides.
Yeah.
So I think this is a really, really big call, and it's going to be a fascinating story, and undoubtedly one we'll get into further. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules, round two of United and Liverpool. Round one was 0-0. You and I liked it.
Yeah.
It was a tactical battle, blah, blah, blah. They won the Premier League. This is the FA Cup version. This was a much better game.
It was. You're right. Much better game. Maybe because it was Old Trafford and United were...
Right. They had the support of the home fans.
No. But in the sense that they were more... I think they were more there to attack. They were more ready than the way they sit back in the first half at Anfield in the league, for example, a week before. This was different. Bruno Fernandes and Mane both on the bench, rested. So almost full strength teams on each side, but not really either. And I just went exactly like how I expected it to go, apart from the two big mistakes that cost Liverpool two goals, because James Milner should never make that mistake on the first goal. And Reece Williams, I don't care how young he is, should never make that mistake either.
Yeah, Reece Williams didn't have a good game. I wonder, too, if... Look, I mean, it was really, really engrossing games.
Yeah.
I think both teams actually, despite the individual mistakes, I think both teams played well. There's lots of encouraging there. I wonder if the reason why this was a more open game was simply that the damage done by losing this game is less than the benefit that comes from winning this game. And so there was less of a fear of failure, less of a fear of screwing up than perhaps there was in the league. I mean, you're right. This game mattered, and I think maybe to Liverpool it was more important that they go and play well. And once again, they were confident that if they played well going forward, they would win. And we saw a lot of glimpses of that, right? And I mean, I'm thinking of the two Salah goals. There were chances as well.
It's
been put to me that maybe the issue, though, with Liverpool isn't the attack so much, even though obviously there was the run without goals and whatever.
Yeah, they haven't scored for a while.
But it's the midfield. And as phenomenal as Thiago Alcantara is, when he's in there, when Henderson's not there, obviously Fabinho playing at the back, you lose something in the counter press. You're just a lot more vulnerable. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I thought it was quite obvious yesterday at times in the way they pressed that it was not as successful as it used to be. I think Wijnaldum has played, and we said how good it'd been so far this season at times, but we also said that the dude can't play every single game, every minute, all the time. There's a point where he's tired, and if Wijnaldum's press and his energy is not there, I think the whole team suffers. And if on top of that, you're right, Henderson is not there, and I never thought I would say that, but I kind of miss Henderson playing. then I think it's a lot for the way they're playing and how important their midfield is.
Don Hutchinson said on the show last night that Liverpool played well and obviously was derided for it because they lost. But does he have a point? Are there more positives than that? Because it looks to me that the goals that they conceded were down to individual errors. No manager can legislate for that, right?
No.
Well, Reece Williams, a poor guy, he's going to have better days than this, right? Milner, there's a reason he doesn't start every game.
Yeah.
Alexander Arnold, who I thought was poor again.
Again.
You know, this is the kind of season he's having. You're not going to fix that overnight. But going forward, some of the attacking concepts, the patterns of play, the link up Firmino and Salah, that was there. Thiago Alcantara did his playmaking duties. So that's encouraging. On the United end, how do you build on this? Obviously, there was no Bruno. Van de Beek,
But
Rashford, Greenwood, turn the corner?
Yeah, Rashford, Greenwood, Pogba. Even defensively.
I knew you were going to mention Pogba.
No, of course, because he was, I thought he was very good. I liked what Ole did in terms of the starting 11 and then the changes that he made, and that worked. I thought he was right to give Van der Beek a start. He deserved it. You know, he waited long enough and then didn't really work out well. But then you bring Bruno and he makes a difference. And we've said before, Bruno had to step up in the big games as well, and he certainly did yesterday.
Well, you're the one with this concept that Bruno doesn't play.
But it's true. And it was good to see him scoring that goal. The key here is the counter-attacking football that United are so good at, that they could not get it right completely in the league game. But yesterday was perfect. And Klopp said at the end, we struggled with their counter-attack football because they were just so good at it. And guess who they play next in the league now?
Spurs.
Yeah. Spurs. And you know exactly what's going to happen on Thursday night, right? It's going to be exactly the same kind of game. And the high line of Liverpool with Alexander-Arnold and Reece Williams or whoever played at the back, if Spurs are on top, you know, and playing well and doing their counter-attacking football well, like they've done all season pretty much in those kind of games, Liverpool are going to struggle again.
Yeah. I mean, but again, Liverpool can, if they score first, then it's a different game again.
Well, like against United on Sunday, they scored first. And they still lost, and they still struggled in the against the counter attack.
Yeah, which takes me back to the midfield, and takes me back to this idea that Thiago Alcantara, phenomenal as he is, and in some ways it's a bit unusual, right? Because at Bayern he played for a team that, you know, had a high line and had a lot of possession and tried to press aggressively, and it worked there, right? It's not like he had a defensive midfielder behind him, right?
Yeah.
But it just seems to me that the way Liverpool's midfield is right now, it's the margin for error is so small in the way they play that something's missing. Something's missing when the other team goes into transition. It's too easy for them to get forward. I don't expect Thiago Alcantara to cover as much ground. You know, I don't think it's necessarily the idea that he's not as switched on as Henderson or Fabinho is, or that he's, you know, just an attacking player. He knows how to do this. He's done this for four years playing for Bayern.
He reads the game really well as well. So he's
he reads the game defensively well. I just think it is something that needs to be fixed. And I want to ask you, though, because Curtis Jones, he got the start here. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the guy. Could he be more of an answer here if in that midfield trio?
I was disappointed that he played as a left winger almost.
Almost as a left winger. Yeah.
The way he started, then he moved to midfield. I just think. I don't know if he's the answer in a game like the one against Spurs on Thursday night, for example. I'm not sure he's the answer for that, because I still think that as great as he is technically, you will need you need three midfielders against Spurs who are just going to like hassle them the whole time. And I just think you waste a little bit of what Curtis Jones is about if all you ask him for pretty much is just, you know, go and chase the ball all the time and everything.
If you ask him to be Wijnaldum.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. Yeah, or Henderson. So, maybe in the way they express themselves going forward offensively, he has a key role to play, because we saw that at times the creativity maybe was lacking a little bit in what they could do. I certainly think that in some games he can bring you something a bit different than what the front three can, for example, or even Shaqiri. I'm surprised that Shaqiri started ahead of Curtis Jones in the last two games, for example.
Yeah,
before the FA Cup game.
The Shaqiri thing was different. I mean, maybe looked good in training, maybe saw something there.
Yeah, of course,
maybe. It's funny, just to wrap Liverpool defensively, because remember when we found out that Sokratis Papastathopoulos, had been released from his contract, I speculated. That,
yeah, you and it thought was pure speculation. Good idea, yeah.
Right. And today, The Athletic reporting that they did actually take a look at him, but then decided to pass on. So I'm glad Klopp and I, great minds think
Klopp
alike.
He's listening to you.
On the issue of going back to United and in terms of what we learned, obviously there are a certain team with Cavani. They're a different team, I think, with Martial.
Yeah.
How do you navigate between the two? I mean, is it feasible that if you're Solskjaer saying, hey, I have a real shot at winning a league, should I ride Cavani the rest of the way? At least, if he can't play every game,
yeah,
at least give him more minutes, put him ahead of Martial. I'm not putting you on the spot because Martial's your boy.
Yeah, he's my boy.
But then Cavani's PSG, so, you know.
Yeah, but they're different. I really think they're different profiles.
And I guess, are they better with Cavani against most teams?
I think they're better with Cavani in games like the one against Liverpool yesterday. I still think that...
In what games are they worse with Cavani?
Sheffield United, really low block, really no spaces at all, a lot of bodies in the box. If you cross the ball, I think play Martial. And Martial is so good in those small spaces. His linker play... Yeah.
The fact that Cavani's much better in the air doesn't change it for you.
Not when Sheffield United are going to put like 10 bodies in the box.
Stop picking up Sheffield United.
No, but it's only because
it's
the next game.
You mentioned Burnley.
It's because it's the next game. That's the only reason why I said Sheffield United. And that's what I think in those kind of games, Martial might be better. And you can always bring on Cavani for the last half hour, even at halftime if you want to.
To wrap United, I think we need to show a little bit of love to Luke Shaw, who I think is playing... This is as well as he's played maybe since his Southampton days. And in fact, maybe in some ways... It's better because at Southampton he was used primarily just as an attacking fullback. Now there's a whole defensive dimension to his game. It feels as if he's finally cracked it. Obviously, he's had injuries, set ups and downs.
No,
he's had that relationship with Jose Mourinho when he was there.
Of course.
What do we put this down to?
I mean, don't forget that the player that was directly against him scored 2 goals, right? No, it is. It did. But I agree with you anyway. This was me being a bit...
All right. He's directly against him. It's not like Mo Salah sits out wide on the wing and goes one-on-one with Shaw the whole game.
Exactly.
He moves around and whatever. In fact, he scored both goals centrally, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was just being a bit cynical because I like Luke Shaw. And you're right. He's improved massively this season. His understanding with Maguire is much better. And defensively, I think it's hard to beat him anymore. We saw that more in the league game where Salah really, really struggled against him on one-on-one situations. I mean, pace and skills and everything. So good. Maybe all the work he's done with Solskjaer has paid off, and McPhillan and Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick. I don't know, you know, with all that stuff, maybe he has more confidence. The way they play and the way they sit at times suits him more.
I like to play this game when I'm imagining, sort of projecting 2 years down the line, when a team is really, really good, when they've made all the right choices between now and then, who realistically is still part of this United team, right? Let's imagine United winning the Champions League in 2 years' time. We know that some of these guys aren't going to be them. They'll be replaced with better players. I think we can agree that we can imagine Bruno Fernandes being there.
Yeah.
We can imagine Rashford being there. Maybe one of the two goalkeepers. I don't know which one.
Maguire
by inertia. Wan-Bissaka possibly in a different role.
Yeah.
Pogba. Is he going to actually?
If he stays.
It's not. The door isn't closed on
it
him
isn't
staying.
Closed
okay,
at
let's
all.
Make it clear on this. The door is not closed on him staying, right?
No, it's not closed.
They just have to offer him a contract.
Yeah. Otherwise.
Otherwise, he's not going to stay. Because if he doesn't have a contract, he's out of contract. He can't be there. But is Luke Shaw one of those guys? We imagine McTominay will be there, maybe not starting, but he'll be there somewhere.
Yeah.
Is Luke Shaw there? Is Luke Shaw...
So let's not forget that they tried, and I mean, they signed one left-back, Alex Dayes, you know, in the summer.
Yeah.
They tried really hard for other left-backs before, like Reguilon, for example. So it was clearly because they thought Luke Shaw wasn't good enough or was not playing enough.
But has he proven them wrong, I guess?
Yeah, and maybe the fact that, when you said earlier, what has changed, maybe the fact that they signed Alex Dayes and that Alex Dayes, who is a good player, is putting pressure on, like, you know, if you don't play well, I'm going to take over you. And maybe Solskjaer said to Luke Shaw, look, I've got really now you know, it's not Brandon Williams. I've got like a proper left back, real at that kind of level that can play. So if you don't wake up and don't improve, I'm going to move Alex Telles instead of you. And maybe that's what he needed as well. And so, yeah, I think he might, he would be there if he keeps that kind of level, certainly.
Players do improve in mid-career, Wiseman says.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. All right, enough FA Cup. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
This time, no Matthew Hoppe goal as Bayern stomp all over poor old Schalke 4-0. Jules, the rivals keep dropping points. Are we ready to crown them?
Ah, come on, 7 points now. And even when Bayern are not good, it's a bit like, you remind me of Juventus of last year, where they were there for the taking. The titles were there for Inter or whoever else. And then they bottled it, and the same in the Bundesliga this year. Of course, Bayern are going to win it now. They had so many chances. Gladbach, Bayer Leverkusen, Leipzig, whoever you want, Dortmund. And they never taken them. And now look at...
I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I am. Real Madrid needed a reaction after the Copa del Rey humiliation against Alcoyano in midweek. And they got one against Alaves. Gab, how important is this?
It was obviously crucially important that they win. Remember, Zinedine Zidane, he was stayed home with COVID. Somebody named David Bettoni, who I'd never seen, never heard speak
it's
before.
His twin.
What?
He's almost Zidane's twin. They look like each other so much. They were together at the Cannes Academy all those years ago.
He was in charge of the team. Eden Hazard played, scored.
Played well.
That's good. The one, although, by the way, no Sergio Ramos, no Dani Carvajal either. So this potentially a trap game, and Alaves had beaten them before. However, the one thing which makes me concerned is the people who drove them through this. Once again, the old guard, Luka Modric was phenomenal, Karim Benzema, his usual self, Toni Kroos, Casemiro. You need more from the other guys. Hello, Asensio, Vinicius, whoever plays, Isco, whoever plays, you guys gotta step up. He needs
to steady the ship with the old guys, and then when things are better, the others will come through.
Sticking with Real Madrid, Rafael Varane's contract expires in 2022 when he'll be 29 years old, and there's suggestions he might not want to extend. Jules, can they keep him and Sergio Ramos?
But yeah, they can. Well, they certainly should keep Rafael Varane. I can see again why he would want maybe another chapter in his career. He's been there, what, more than...
Yeah, he wants more money and wants to take over once Ramos leaves.
Yeah, exactly. But that's good, no? Surely Varane has earned the right to maybe be the boss of that defense and bring David Alaba, who's a bit younger than him, and then you're happy, or same age, and you're happy.
He needs a big second half of the season.
Let's see. Inter are held by Udinese 0-0, talking about missed opportunities, by the way, which means they failed to go top, and Antonio Conte gets himself sent off right at the end of the game. Gab, you must be surprised, right?
I'm utterly shocked. This was a horrible, limp performance.
It was so bad.
Virtually the same lineup who did so well before against Juve. And the thing with Conte, you know why he got himself sent off? So he was angry. He was angry first because when they only gave 4 minutes of time added on, right? And he starts shouting at the referee. Then he gets angrier because there was, in the first half, there was a foul that should have been a second yellow by Arslan. It didn't happen. And he goes and shouts at the referee, "It's always you! It's always you!" I mean, come on, man, grow up. There's no master plan here. You're not making your players more motivated or better. This is a poor performance. The only positive you can say is now we're talking about Conte, not talking about why they're so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Fine. But I expect more, and I think Inter fans deserve more.
Completely.
Mikel Arteta leaves Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, Emile Smith-Rowe, and Kieran Tierney at home, and Thomas Partey, Bukayo Saka, and Alexandre Lacazette on the bench. So it's not really surprising that they get knocked out of the FA Cup by Southampton, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. This is, you play a B team against a team that plays an A team, and who are a really good team. This is what happens.
And focus on Europa League qualification instead.
Well, let's hope that the decision that he made by playing the B team, you know, pays off in the league then. That's all I can say. It's not official yet if we stay with Arsenal, but multiple reports say that Martin Odegaard is on his way from Real Madrid on loan. We mentioned that a little bit in the last show. You think it's a good idea, but not such a good idea.
I'm trying to think what the upside is, right? So, okay, other than the fact that Odegaard's going to come, obviously it's going to affect the development of Emile Smith Rowe. It's going to affect Dani Ceballos, but I guess, you know, he becomes...
He can play right winger as well.
Play right wing, because they don't have enough wingers at Arsenal. It's the one position where they're covered. They have a million bodies. The one thing about this is there's no agreement, there's no set fee to make the deal permanent.
No.
And my concern from Arsenal, you have to have a lot of confidence, because if Odegaard comes and does badly, okay, fine, whatever, he's there and he's gone. If Odegaard comes and does really well, one scenario, he goes back to Madrid. But the other scenario, he's proven in the Premier League. And then all of a sudden, hey, maybe Manchester City want him. Maybe Manchester United want him. Yeah. Maybe all of a sudden they put a lot of money on the table and you don't have any control over that. That's what's weird. You're really relying on the fact that Arteta gets through to him and says, Martin, if you come and they don't want you back, you got to stay and you got to say no to these other clubs. Because this is a shop window effect from Real Madrid. From Real Madrid's perspective, this is perfect.
But maybe there's a clause somewhere that said that Arsenal will have, if they want to sign him permanently, will have, I don't know, the first refusal or, you know, first option on him or something like this.
Those clauses are worthless unless they're written down.
I know, but still, I don't know. I want to believe in this.
It's 7 wins in a row now for Atletico Madrid as Luis Suarez scores on his birthday and they beat Valencia 3-1. Jules, 7 points clear, a game in hand. No Copa del Rey to get in the way. This is going to happen.
Oh, yes, I think it is. Even if I thought after the derby, okay, Real Madrid are going to come back now. I could see Atletico collapsing after the derby. And they don't. And you know what? At the weekend, they conceded the first goal, which has only happened 3 times this season. The first one was against Real Madrid, and they lost. The second one was in midweek. They came back and won. And again, they came back and won this game. And they played well. I thought Thomas Lemar was fantastic. Joao Felix as well, after being on the bench for, 4 games in a row or something. So even when he wants a response from some players, he gets it. I mean, there's nothing that they can do wrong this season. It's pretty remarkable, to be fair.
He's got this, and I think Cholo might sign a new deal as well.
Yeah. Atalanta beats up Milan 3-0 as your boy and my boy, Josip Policic, puts on another masterclass. Gab, reason to be concerned for Milan, though?
I mean,
they played well until the hour mark. When he was still in one.
They played reasonably well. Atalanta are a really, really good team, and they have a lot of really important players missing. You can't give Bennacer and Calhanoglu's other people. Ibra came out and said, you know, he was all grumpy after the game, saying, "Oh, well, we need more experience." Blah blah blah. I was isolated. Ibra, remember, you're part of a project here that's based around kids. Okay, so just, you know,
he knows the deal.
Just get with the program, as they used to say in the 70s. No Lionel Messi, but Barcelona down Elche 2-0. Frankie de Jong and Marc-Andre Ter Stegen saved the day, Jules.
It was bad. I'm sorry, but it was bad. And it's not me picking on Barcelona, because I really want them to do it.
They did create a lot of chances.
Come on.
The Elche goalkeeper made some really good saves.
Yeah, at the end of the game, after Rigoni missed a 1-1 against Ter Stegen. Great save by Ter Stegen, but that could have gone down to 1-1, and then it was a completely different game. But they won. That's the most important. I liked Pedri a lot, especially in the last half hour. I thought he was brilliant. And a goal and an assist from Frankie de Jong.
Ricky Puig scores the header.
Yeah, but they need Messi back quickly. The Catalan newspaper Sport are reporting that the club are going to go hard. That's Barcelona after Sergio Aguero, who's free at the end of the season, and David Alaba, also free in the summer. Does that make sense to you, or Alaba makes more sense than Sergio Aguero?
I mean, Alaba theoretically makes more sense because he's younger. I guess Aguero, the idea is like, oh, look, he's Argentine. He must be Messi's friend.
Well,
neither makes sense, because both are going to, you're going to have to pay these guys enormous amounts of money. How did you get yourself in the problem, in the situation to begin with? You have an enormous wage bill. Yeah. Think about it. Not smart.
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain beat up Montpellier 4-0, and Neymar, Mbappe, and Mauro Icardi all score. Should I mention Icardi along with the other two?
Yeah, okay, yeah, why not? He's back.
All is well at the Parc des Princes, Jules.
It is, Gab. It was really good win, convincing. They played really well. We saw already what Poch wants them to do. There was a lot of intensity. There was a lot of different positioning to what we saw before with Tuchel. And then Kylian Mbappe spoke after the game saying that he still hasn't made his mind up about his future to stay and extend or to leave and decide to leave. He said he will have to decide soon. So, hey, I've got my fingers crossed, my toes crossed, my legs crossed, my arm crossed, my ears crossed. Everything is crossed for him to stay.
Thanks, Kylian.
Manchester City almost make history, but on the wrong kind, because they came with just 10 minutes, Gab, of getting knocked out of the FA Cup by Cheltenham Town. That would have been epic, Gab, right?
Yeah, Cheltenham known more Cheltenham. For. They have a big horse racing festival.
Yeah, of course. I went, actually.
I don't like horse racing. I don't understand it. I think it's weird. But, yeah, this is weird. This was not a terrible... I mean, yeah, you had Taylor Harwood-Bellis in there, but, you know, there was a lot of first-teamers in there. You expected them to boss it. I'm left with this slightly romantic notion, which is it could have been... I just wonder, and the Cheltenham Town manager alluded to this, if that had been a packed stand, 4,000 screaming fans, could we have had another outcome? Would have been funny. But hey, wake-up call maybe.
Yeah.
Sticking with City, Kevin De Bruyne is reportedly out for 6 weeks now. Jules, is this enough to derail their title hopes?
Of course it is enough. I think there's two players they really didn't want to get injured. One is Ruben Dias and the other one is Kevin De Bruyne. And I don't know how they would cope without him. Of course, you've got plenty of options. And yes, of course, it can still work out. But, I mean, it's Kevin De Bruyne, you know.
It's a big blow. A big blow for the Champions League as well, I think.
Juventus beat Bologna 2-0 as Weston McKennie scores again. And then we discovered that he's a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, he did a whole like Expelliarmus celebration. The encouraging thing here, you can look at this and say, look, it's only Bologna. I mean, it is only Bologna, right? But that midfield, for once, it worked.
Arthur.
You played Arthur with Bentancur and McKennie. Arthur said, Bentancur, you be the playmaker because I'm not good at it. Yep. I don't like doing it. I never really did it, which, again, questions asked about Juve, why'd you sign this guy for that role? But it looked a lot more balanced.
Yep.
Ronaldo with Kulusevski up front, so obviously not ideal. But, you know, little signs of progress, little rays of sunshine.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, Jules, this is back on Friday, but it's worth revisiting. Borussia Dortmund lose to Borussia Mönchengladbach 4-2. Now it's 1 point from 3 games for Edin Terzic. 13 points back in the table. Even the Champions League is in doubt. I'm assuming Terzic is losing any chance he may have had of sticking around past June, yeah?
Yeah, I think that was already done a long time ago. It's what we said on Monday. He's an interim coach. That's all he is. He can't compete with...
Yeah, but interim coaches
even
win
Peter Bosch outsmarted
become...
him.
Roberto Di Matteo was an interim coach, and then he won the Champions League, and then he stuck around.
Yeah, true, but that's not ET for you. You know, ET was... I mean, they can't even defend set pieces. I know that's not his fault, but at least... If you're a new manager, you come in, what do? You try to fix this problem that has been going on for years and years, and yet they keep conceding on set pieces all the time. I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
And is Marco Rosa, he's still the guy you would like
surely
to...
Surely. I would love him at Dortmund. I think he would do wonders in that team, with that team. Leipzig failed to keep pace at the top, losing 3-2 to Mainz, talking about jokes, and are now 7 points behind Bayern. Gab, do we need to revise our title prediction? I feel we do.
I am not revising
up,
it
yeah
yet. No, I'm not. Look,
7 points, Gab.
Bayern have played well for 3 or 4 games, okay? Prior to that, they got results and they didn't play well.
Yeah.
So the question is, can they play well between now and the end of the season? Let's see what happens once the Champions League returns.
No.
I'm not giving up on Leipzig just yet, but... I'm this far away. Individual errors. All season long, we've been talking about, score more goals, Schick, Werner, how they're going to replace them.
Yeah.
No, defensively, they were terrible. They gifted them 2 goals.
Yeah.
And Nagelsmann came out, and Nagelsmann said, we're not thinking about the title right now. I would say you're in second place, so by definition, you have to think about the title.
He said no, so,
Bah. Sevilla beat Cádiz 3-0, and Youssef En-Nesyri scored a hat-trick. Jules, you said they couldn't win the title because they don't have a goal scorer. Well, he's now joint top of the Pichichi table alongside some guy named Luis Suarez. And Papu Gomez is reportedly on his way too.
I just wish...
Time to revise your opinion.
I just wish Enesiri had been firing like this at the start of the season, not just in the last few weeks. He scored two hat-tricks in, what, the last four games or something. But they needed him before that.
But they're getting Papu.
They're too
and
far.
The Papu
I would
dance.
Love,
come on,
I would
man.
Love, I would love the Papu dance and Enesiri, who is a great story, and Julen Lopetegui, and all. I would love that, and Monchi. I would love them to go and win it. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I don't see it.
Atletico to finish ahead of Sevilla to finish ahead of Real Madrid or Barca.
One. Yeah, of Barca, I think they will finish.
All right.
Everton beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-0. I mean, If you wonder why this is here, that question of a game.
We didn't know that Frank Lampard was going to get sacked.
Carlo Ancelotti puts out a strong side. Gab, he wants to win the FA Cup, doesn't he?
Of course he does. And you know what? By the way, I'd never noticed this before. Maybe it's been there all along. At Goodison, behind one of the goals, they have this, like, okay, this is one of those cheesy things that English clubs do. You know those big banners that, like, the club makes and puts up and they're supposed to be authentic? They have one with his face on it, which says, like, Fantastico, Magnifico.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, I saw it. And he does the advert for the NHS, you know, and all the
put on a mask.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's
lovely.
Awesome.
Lovely.
Three straight defeats for AVB and Marseille as they lose 3-1 to Monaco. Jules, I feel like we keep talking about former Chelsea managers. The wheels are coming off now, right?
Big time, Gab. They're falling off. I think he's lost the dressing room. There's a few rumors going on that they would sack him. He even said himself, you know, if I'm not the right man, just get rid of me. He doesn't even think that he wants to be there, which is really strange. They play Lens in the next game, which they lost to them a couple of weeks ago. And then after that, they've got PSG and Rennes, who are both top five teams.
So basically, Milik is walking into a disaster area.
Well, some people certainly, like you, Gab, raised a few eyebrows when they saw the amount of money that they were ready to pay as a loan fee and the option to buy plus his wages on top. You know, it's a big gamble.
What's up with the chief executive? Is it Aero? Is that his name?
Aero, yeah, the president, yeah. I mean, he's a walking disaster anyway. You know,
do you know he used to work for Disney, the parent company of this network? So should we probably move, but no longer works here, so that's fine.
No longer works here, but certainly there's a lot of dislike towards him, you know, at the club, by the fans and etc. Paulo Fonseca's future was hanging by a thread despite them being third in the table. Gab, they needed an injury time winner. What end of that game against Spezia to get the 3 points. But was he in this situation to begin with? Why was he in this situation to begin with? And how excited should Roma fans be about Brian Reynolds, by the way, who's on his way?
Yeah, so my MLS knowledge is very, very limited.
FC Dallas?
I just know that he's a FC Dallas. He's a fullback. He's tall and he's athletic. And
very athletic.
You know, I think this is his first year as a full-time starter, first or second year. That's all I know about him, so I can help you there. 19. But you know, from a U.S. perspective, that's another guy going to a big European club.
Yeah, that's great.
Paulo Fonseca was in this situation because they got destroyed in the derby and were terrible in the derby.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. The derby still really, really matters in Rome. This is the Rometta, as they call it, the little Rome mentality where, you know, you can finish 15th. Oh, but, you know, we won the derby, so everything's great. It's ridiculous. He's third in the table. He lost his best player, Zaniolo, to a season-ending injury. Yeah. He had the whole nonsense with the club ownership in the summer and whatever. He's got a new director of football. He's got the other Muppets who are going screwing up substitutions, screwing up registrations of players.
Yeah.
He's third in the freaking table. Come on, man. And in this game, Spezia, a lot of people, you know, more knowledgeable than me about Roma, say this would have cost him his job because they're 3-2 up. And they concede an equalizer basically in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
And then Pellegrini scores the winner to make it 4-3. Everybody runs and hugs him.
Love Pellegrini.
But he's still got a lot of stuff to work on. And one of those jewels is with Dzeko. Because, again, reportedly the relationship with Dzeko is fully broken down. There's rumors about him going on the market.
Would he make sense as a short-term fix for someone?
Yeah, of course. Is what, 34 going on 35?
I think he might even be 36, but I don't know. It's hard to tell. Dzeko's ageless. He's like the Sphinx.
But yeah, take it. Have a Llorente kind of impact with that kind of experience before, and that, you know, it would work.
And as the classic saying goes, he hasn't lost his pace because he never had it.
We touched upon this last week as news broke while we were recording. But Gab, you had a few days to look at this. Should we take the Super League rumors? I mean, the latest ones. More seriously?
So I thought that we should because obviously...
Me too, I did, actually.
The Confederation, getting UEFA and FIFA and the rest of the Confederations to agree and put out this joint statement is meaningful. You know, often they like to play one across the other and kind of engage in some triangulation. I think this really, really lays a marker down. I know there's a ton of private equity money out there and stuff looking for a home and people willing to invest in this. It doesn't seem well thought out. The way all this stuff was leaked, I think there's mistrust between the clubs. I think what you need now is really, I mean, if you believe in this, Florentino or whoever else is behind
Andrea.
This, the Glazers, you need to step forward and say, we think this is right for football. This is why. See what the reaction is. See who you can get on board and take it to a head. You know, you can't keep acting in shadows with leaks and this.
That's
and
true.
That.
That's a really good point.
Bayer Leverkusen lose at home to Wolfsburg. So they're another team that seemingly have no interest in trying to catch Bayern.
What's going on? I mean, what is going on? That game where you thought, okay, they've got that momentum from the win against Dortmund. They can, you know, you can catch Bayern. You can go after them. You can, and then they're so poor.
Yeah, but Wolfsburg are on the up of late.
I know, but come on. It was not a good performance. And it was just like, okay, this is another opportunity where we said at the beginning, that Bayern are going to win this because not because they were great, but because the others could not take their opportunities to come back on them. Gab, you told us Napoli were still in the title. Well, you actually told us that Napoli were going to win Serie A this season. And then they go and lose 3-1 to Verona. Have you changed your mind now? Are you going to revise? Because that's a word you've used a lot.
Jules, when facts change, opinions change. And the fact is, after playing well for maybe 20 minutes against Verona.
Yeah, they were on top.
They completely fell apart. They were terrible. They were outworked. No, I think there were other games when they played well and they made mistakes and dropped points. But here, they were just terrible. I mean, Verona are very athletic, very physical team. They outworked them. But there was just zero response from Napoli. And I think this is a major, major cause for concern. And I'll tell you what. I am prepared to say they will not win Serie A this season. But
it would have been great.
Again, when facts change, I might change my opinion again.
Yeah, of course.
Rafa Benitez returns from China, which means another big name manager's on the market again. Jules, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like that he wanted to see something different, a new adventure, a new experience in China, but it was time for him to come back to Europe. And I think there'll be plenty of clubs, starting with Newcastle, his old club. I mean, they still have that guy as a manager. Can't remember the name.
The guy with two first names?
Yeah, exactly. But come on, bring back Rafa to the Premier League, please. Betis drew 2-2 with Real Sociedad and left it really late as well. And Joaquin made history. Gab, please, can I celebrate the great man?
So he's 39 years old and he scored a goal. He's actually the fourth oldest goal scorer in La Liga. It's not really history. I think the record's held by Donato, who I think was 40 when he scored
with La Coruña.
But you know what? Joaquin is a winger,
amazing.
He's a winger, and he's 39. He's playing professionally in the top five. He's fantastic. What a player.
Yeah.
It's been such a joy to watch him play. I wonder, is he going to outlast Ibrahimovic and Cristiano and all those guys just keep playing?
Imagine.
I don't know. Phenomenal.
Exceptional.
Right. That brings us to an end this week. It was a packed show. Should we come back and do this on Thursday?
Definitely.
I think we need to do that.
Yeah.
Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.